Good morning, River Church Slough. How are you doing? How are we all coping with this extended period of lockdown? Right at the beginning, I was meditating on being locked away, and I was looking out in my garden and seeing the beautiful blossom on the trees. And I really felt the Lord say that this lockdown was going to be like a winter, like a locked down time, and where the church would emerge like the gloriously adorned trees with covered in blossom and fruitfulness. And so I really want to believe that and pray that over you guys this morning and declare to you that you will emerge from this time gloriously fruitful. And as I meditated on that over the following weeks, I just came to the conclusion that really, to make the most of this time, like the trees in the winter, they're drawing up goodness and nutrients from the soil. We need to be doing the same. And what better way to do that than to live in his word and to dwell in the story, the wonderful story of this God who loves us and is rescuing all of creation. So I want to do that this morning. I want to look at a little bit of John's gospel. So let's just dive in, shall we? And I entitled this talk Clinging to Jesus because he is the word of God, as the passage we're going to read out says. And as I read this passage this week, it just struck me again how wonderful Jesus is, how glorious he is, and how much he means to us. And the best thing we can do as we seek to feed ourselves and nourish ourselves during this lockdown time is to cling to Jesus, to not in a fearful way, but in a passionate, determined way, to just draw on the life that he offers us, to fill ourselves with his goodness. So I'm going to read John's Gospel chapter 1. And so if you'd like to turn to that with me. And as I read just the first 18 verses, I want you to think about the story of creation, because John is clearly drawing us to this, to the story of creation. He's basically saying that the coming of Jesus is like recreation. So I want you to listen out for the echoes of creation in the passage I'm about to read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overpower it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He comes after me. He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So you can see there, John really drawing us into the creation story. In the beginning was the Word. Takes us right back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so I I think some of those echoes of that creation story will be obvious to us as we look at that. There's the light shining in the darkness. The first thing God does is says, let there be light. The next one may not be quite so obvious, but there was also a separation in the story of Genesis. We'll look at that a little bit. A story where the heavens were separated from the earth. God's dwelling place separated from our dwelling place. A distance, if you like, between us and God. And then the third section is, third thing I want to draw us attention to is the fact that in the creation story, we chose independence. We chose to turn our backs on God, to mistrust him. And so the children became orphans. They lost touch or connection with their father. So three things, and we could talk about many, many more. There are loads in those early chapters of Genesis, which are packed into the Gospel of John. But we're just going to focus on those three. So Jesus dispels our darkness. We've just seen that in that passage we read out that God sent a man called John to preach the good news. When people asked him, he said, no, I'm not the light. There's one coming after me. It was the light of men, the light of men, the light of the world. In fact, later on, Jesus would say, I am the light of the world. So there's something happening around the birth of Jesus, the coming of the Son of God, in which the darkness is being driven out by the light of the world. And darkness really was never what God wanted. It was almost like a necessary part of creation. If you read the creation story, it begins, as I said, with God creating the heavens and the earth being formless and void. And darkness was already there over the deep. And God says, let there be light. And he saw that the light was good. And he separated, it says, the light from the dark and the light he called day and whatever. But he never declares the darkness good. And of course, at the end, when we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 23 to 25, it says that in the new Jerusalem, in the heavenly city, in the place of where God's dwelling on earth with mankind, that they have no need of the sun because God is their light. The Lamb is their light. And there's no more night. There's no more darkness, which is glorious. So darkness then, I guess, what does it mean? What is darkness representing? I think darkness represents lostness, because if things are dark, we can't see. We don't know where we are. We don't know what we look like. We don't know what others look like. We can't see where we're going. We have no idea what's happening really around us. So there's a sense in which the darkness is lostness. And in that darkness, in that lostness, fear comes, anxiety comes, depression comes. It's like the dark clouds come. And if we're not careful in this time of lockdown, I guess we could be allowing those dark clouds to overshadow us, to overwhelm us. Then we may feel fearful. We may feel anxious. We may feel depressed. If we look at the uncertainties, if we look at what we're facing with the disease and with the economic fallout and all the rest of it and dwell there, then that will lead us into fear and lead us into depression, anxiety. The good news is that Jesus came to drive out the darkness, and he will drive out fear, and he will drive out depression and drive out anxiety. You know, I've prayed for people who have suffered from depression and seen the depression lift. As they experience the warmth of God's love. It's like the sun coming out on a dark day. So Jesus is the light of the world. Let's cling to him in this season. And as we meditate on him, as we meditate on who he is and what he means to us, the warmth of God's love will just be poured out again into our hearts, and the darkness will flee. So the next thing I want to briefly look at is separation, because in the beginning, again, day two, it says God separated the waters from the waters above from the waters below, and the waters above he called heaven, and the waters below he called earth. And that's like a separation of God's dwelling place from our dwelling place. And again, you know, that was the only day which God didn't declare good in the order of creation. It's something that God never really wanted. It was necessary for our freedoms. And so overall it was good, but he never declared that day good. And of course, in the end, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to 4, in the new creation, we get the heavens and the earth being recreated and God moving in with us, heaven moving in and heaven and earth becoming one. So that's where God's leading us. So, what does separation represent? What does that mean for us? Well, it does mean we have freedom, because when God's not around, we are free to be ourselves. If we know He's there, there's a sense in which we are almost forced to behave, because He's so overpowering, and there'll be a fearfulness that would come on any misbehaviour. But separation, I guess, really represents a lack of God's presence. Which, as I say, allows freedom. But it also allows other fears to come in. Because if God's not there, the one who is able to look after us all, then things could go wrong. If this good God's not there explicitly and in a very real way, then we can live in fear that things are not going to turn out well. And again, in this time of COVID-19 and the coronavirus, I guess we could fall into that if we're not careful, a fearfulness that things aren't going to work out well for ourselves, for our family, for our finances, our jobs. And the enemy will be seeking just to increase that fear in us. And we need to resist that. And the way we resist it is by just dwelling on this passage again and knowing that God is with us, because it says that the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us, or dwelt amongst us in Jesus. God came and lived with us. And so there's a sense in which He really is here. And this fear that things may go wrong is unfounded, because God is going to be watching over us. So there's also a fear of judgment that may come as well, I guess. If we're living in a way where God's not around, we may be fearful when He comes that He's going to bring a judgment. And some people have thought that COVID is a judgment from God. I don't see it that way myself, and I'm trusting God to bring us through it. But in this chapter again, later on in this chapter of John, we see in verse 29 that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. All the ways in which the world is not living up to the glorious plans that God had, is falling short of the glory that God intended. Jesus is removing, Jesus is taking away. And he does that by demonstrating grace and truth. It says he came full of grace and truth. And that's a powerful word, grace. It means that God is not going to treat us as we deserve. It means he's going to treat us better than we deserve. There's going to be undeserved favour that comes towards us because of Jesus. He came declaring that God was for us. God was with us. I mean, in Romans 8:31, it says that if God is for us, who can be against us? He came really in the body of Jesus. He came as a man and lived amongst us. He also poured out his spirit and enabled all of humanity to have access to living with God now. Of course, one day he's going to live with us on the new heaven and new earth in new creation. But we can experience that new creation now. And in verse 32 of this chapter, you know, Jesus is getting baptized. And John saw the Holy Spirit descending on and remaining on Jesus, the Spirit of God. And of course, that's the Spirit that God pours out on all flesh on the day of Pentecost, which we're celebrating next week, I believe. So we live in the age of Pentecost. We live in the age when God's Spirit is poured out, when God is really with us. And my prayer is that you would know that today. Jesus ends our separation. That you can know God's presence with you. God living with you, God's favour on you and his favour towards you and his power at work in and around you. Wonderful. We can live by faith in the new creation today. So there's no more separation. That just brings me to my last point, because Jesus is talking about, well, the gospel writer John, is talking about not just an end of separation, but bringing us to the Father. Jesus brings us to the Father, and it says there, doesn't it, that he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So, and that's what God wanted all along. If you read again the stories of creation, God, it says in chapter 1, verse 26 to 28 of Genesis, says God made us in his image, male and female. We're created in the image of God to rule and reign here on the earth. That's what he wanted. People that would be just like him, reflecting his love and his kindness and his gentleness and his goodness, all the fruits of the Spirit, covering the whole earth with his image and his glory. Of course, we chose to mistrust him. We believed the serpent, and the serpent said that God was holding out on us. He didn't want us to be like him. He was fearful of us becoming more like him. And so we listened to him and took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. At that moment, we stopped our dependence on God. There was a break in our relationship, in as much as we were no longer considering God as our Father. For those of you who love theology, this is really the original sin. It's not that we're all born sinful since Adam and Eve. I think Romans makes it clear we're all become sinful when we choose to sin. In Romans chapter 5, it says that. But what it means is, because Adam and Eve became orphaned, we were born into an orphaned family. We too were orphaned when we were born. We didn't know the love of the Father, the care of the Father, the protection of the Father, the provision of the Father. So we are all born orphans as a result of that first sin, that first choice of mankind, of humanity, to not trust their Father God. And how do orphans behave? Because orphans don't have anybody watching out for them or looking after them, they have to do it for themselves. So they have to grab what they can for themselves so they've got enough. They have to fight for themselves to protect themselves because they've got no one watching over them. They live in fear, and so they grab and they fight, and we grab and we fight and we hurt one another. And that basically is why the world is so messed up, and so many people living in fear, all grabbing for themselves, all fighting for what they think they need rather than trusting God. And of course Jesus deals with this brilliantly, and he comes that those of whoever believes in him might know God as their Father, but we accept him or have the right to become children of God. And it's not just head knowledge. This is a place of intimacy that he's bringing us to, because it says no one's seen God in verse 18, but the only begotten Son, the only Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And it's in the bosom of the Father. That's a place of intimacy, a place close to the heart of the Father. Jesus knows his Father. And later on in John's Gospel in chapter 14, it says, and Jesus says, you have faith in God, you know, also have faith in me. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And this is the place he's preparing for us. A place of intimacy in the bosom of our Father. Today, we can know real intimacy with God through Jesus Christ. And that's a place of quiet trust. That's a place where we know we're being cared for. That's a place where we know that someone is watching out for us, where we know that we're going to be provided for. Our Father would never see us go hungry. Our Father would never see us go without. Our Father is there for us to guide us, to teach us, to help us grow up well. even through the darkest of times, even through COVID times. And so let that just seep into your soul right now. There's a Father in heaven watching over you and me. Of course, that doesn't mean everything's going to go easy. But what we know is that God is working for our good in all things, at all times, and he will bring us through the difficult times safely. Even death is not a problem in this instance, because Jesus promises that even that won't harm us. It's just a doorway to another dimension, to living with him in a different realm. So let's place our trust, childlike trust, in our God and know that he is with us today. So let's cling to Jesus in this season. Let's not give in to fear. He's with us and he's working for our good. And we can trust him to care for us, to guide, to protect and to provide for us. And in a way, I want to finish with this quote of from Jeremiah, which is often misquoted. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future, to prosper you, not to harm you." And many people will just quote that as if to say that God's always going to do good things and nothing ever bad is going to happen. But that's not what it means. It was given to the children of Israel when they were in exile. They were living in a country they didn't want to be. They hated where they were. They were in slavery. They didn't like being in slavery. They didn't like being in a foreign land. And yet God says, I have plans to prosper you. Live well in this foreign land. Work for its peace, pray for its peace, build homes, plant vineyards, and I will bring you through this. And so God's message for you today is, I know you don't want to be in lockdown. I know you don't want to be separated from your friends and from your family and those you love. I know you don't want to be living through these fearful times. But trust me, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So work with me for good. Don't give up. You're going to reap a harvest. You're going to emerge from this time. And I'm going to be with you to lead you into greater fruitfulness and freedoms in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, Father, I want to thank you for your love towards us. I thank you for your grace. And I pray for my friends, my brothers and sisters in Slough, that they would know your love that surpasses knowledge. They would know you with them throughout this, what remains of this lockdown period and the recovery afterwards. That your joy may overflow in them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Help us all to live through this time well and to work with you for good. In Jesus' name, amen.